Good morning, Valley Brook and friends, and welcome to another glorious Sunday streaming live here with us. And we just bless the Lord for the opportunity to be with you and for you to be with us. And we're going to begin this morning in our usual, typical way of having my dear sister, sweetheart, wife, come in and give us the announcements.
Valley Brook and friends. Welcome to Sunday, May 3rd, 2020. We want to give a special welcome to all who are joining us today for the first time. We're happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Now, if you would, please click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us pray for you and to notify you of future Valley Brook events, praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab, or also on the streaming tab in our website, and we will be sure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call. The phone number and access code are listed on our website's homepage and also in today's virtual bulletin. Offering. You may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our giving tab, by mail, or by mailing it to our office address. Our August trip to Sight and Sound. In light of the COVID-19 pandemic, our women's ministry regrets to inform you that our Queen Esther trip is being canceled. We do appreciate your willingness to support this event. However, your health and safety is most important to us. Due to office closures at Sight and Sound, we have not yet been able to get in contact with them regarding the refunds, but we have also canceled our dining and transportation reservations in the restaurant Good and Plenty and the Haymarket Transportation Company have both reported that they will be refunding once their businesses are fully operational. Please stay tuned to future Valley Brook announcements for more details. Announcement requests. If you would like to have an announcement read during Sunday morning service or printed in the virtual bulletin, please reach out to Carla by email. The U-Effect 2020 Directory. Valley Brook members, during this coming week, you will receive a copy of our last updated U-Effect. If there is any information you would like to add, remove, or change, please email our office administrator, Carla Marie Fernandez, as soon as possible, as she is finalizing the 2020 U-Effect. The deadline for changes is Sunday, May 17th. Access to our virtual Sunday bulletin. Please join me in reading the scripture in the bulletin, which you may access by clicking on the streaming tab and clicking on the link labeled May 3rd Bulletin. But before that, join me in the celebration of our May birthday celebrities. May 4th, Kia McCoy. May 8th, A.C. Abercrombie. May 8th again, Calvin Gladden. May 10th, Michelle Bryant. May 11th, Darren Broadnax. May 13th, Melissa Broadnax. Another May 13th, Diana Reynolds. May 15th, Brother Gabe Ingram. May 16th, Elder Jim Allen. May 17th, Cherise Sutherland. May 24th, AJ Foggs. And on May 31st, we have three. We have Joshua Mayo, Marissa Allen, and also on May 31st, Nathaniel Austin. Now, if you would join me in our scripture reading today. Again, you may access the virtual bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and clicking on the link labeled May 3rd Bulletin. We're reading Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, or you can read it, read along with me in your Bibles, or you can read out loud with me. Psalm 40, 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Thank you for your word, God, and let us pray. Most Holy Father, you know that right now we are definitely living in a time where, as if we did not know it before, we knew it now. We know it now. How helpless we really are. How helpless our children, your children are, Lord. How needy we are. How much we need you. Because sometimes when our very best efforts, Lord, the deaths from this coronavirus have not stopped. The illnesses have not stopped. The hurt, the pain, the extended hours of work, the risks, all the things that we face, the other items that in our lives that are also important, Lord. We have no control over them either, Lord. The loss of jobs and all the various things, losses of health insurance during a time like this, or hunger, Lord, or parents and grandparents attempting to teach their children from school and teachers trying to reach their students for a half hour per day to instruct them and teach them. Maybe there hasn't been a time quite like this in our lifetime, Lord, where we've been able to see, Lord, just really what is important. So now we can see what's important. Some of the things that we thought were very important, we find fall in the background. So God, we look to you now because we know that regardless of all that is going on, regardless of how it seems to be spinning out of control, that you have it all in control, that you are still fulfilling your purposes, that you are still allowing us to partner with you to fulfill your purposes, that you are the one to look to, that you are the one who has the answers, even if you don't share them at this time, that you are the one, Lord, you are the only one right now that we can then depend on. As Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where else would we go? So God, we thank you. We thank you that we do have you. We thank you for your graciousness, your goodness, your mercy. We thank you for how you're caring for us, even in the difficulty. We look to you now, Lord. We continue to praise you, Lord, because you have been good to us. No matter what. So we thank you, we praise you, we adore you in the matchless name of your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Sweetheart, for that wonderful prayer, timely prayer, from the heart prayer, as always. And another good morning to all of you, Valley Brook members and friends. Before we begin, just wanted to note that right after the message, our dear sister Anika Beatty Mills will be offering a worship selection for us. And so as soon as the message is over, do what you normally do and tune in to hear what the Lord has given her to give to us. All right. It's a blessing to be with you on this first Sunday in May. If we were all together, I would say give the Lord a hand for bringing us into another month. So you can do that where you are with whomever you happen to be watching this, or just do it before the Lord. Let's give him a hand for bringing us into another month. Amen. All right, today's message is titled Understanding Your Job Situation. Understanding Your Job Situation. I think that's probably a relevant subject for many of us at this time, and I am looking forward to what the Lord has given me to share with you. So let's take just a moment and ask him to bless his word. Lord, we thank you for your divine control over all things. And we ask that you would just open our hearts and our minds to rest securely in you as we explore your word together, that we would be like the Bereans, examining the scriptures daily, eagerly to see whether these things are so. And we thank you for giving us your truth to superimpose over the realities that we see each day. And so we ask you now for your blessing in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So today's message, as I said, is titled Understanding Your Job Situation. And before I get to our text passage, I have a request. And my request is simply this, is that you take some time later on today or sometime this week, tomorrow. I'd like you to just take some time to consider the things that you're about to hear alone between you and the Lord in your own private time with him. I can tell you that some of what I'm going to share this morning may be a little dense. For some, it may be a little bit cerebral. I don't intend for it to be. I'm doing the best I can, trust me. But that's why I'm asking you to take the fabric of today's message, which is coming from the scripture, and take it before Taylor Jesus, so to speak, and ask him to fit it to your situation. Ask him to fit it to your needs. Ask him to bring out of this what is relevant for the next step of your journey. Give us this day our daily bread. And I believe the Lord has some bread for all of us in this. And so my request of you is that you take what you hear this morning and consider them sometime this week before the Lord. If you are taking notes, the main idea that I want you to grasp, and I'm going to, everything that I have to say from this point forward revolves around this idea. This is a fabulous main idea. Some main ideas hit the mark, other main ideas not so much. This one is a bullseye. This is what I want to say to you. And if you only get this statement, and you hold on to this statement, I will be a happy pastor. So please make note of the main idea this morning. And here it is. Under the title of Understanding Your Job Situation, my job situation, this is you speaking to yourself, my job situation is a detail in a much larger life than I realize. My job situation is a detail in a much larger life than I realize. I'll say it once more. My job situation, whatever it is, whether you have a job, you don't have a job, you're hoping to get a job, you want a new job, whatever it is, my job situation is a detail in a much larger life than I realize. First of all, I want you to know that I am grateful to God every day. I am grateful for the life that I have, including the job that I have. And for those of you who are listening, who are members of another church that you love, please pardon me for just a moment while I gloat. And I hope that your pastor feels the same way as what I am about to express. I wouldn't give up my job as the pastor of this church for any other job in the world. With God as my witness and standing before him face to face, he knows that's the truth. I wouldn't give up my job as the pastor of this church for any other job in the world, and that includes any other job as a pastor of any other church. That is not flattery. Those of you who have known me for many years, you know I do not flatter. I don't think flattery is a kind thing. I am telling you the truth. And if you'd like for me to elaborate on this, it would probably cost you a banana pudding or a chicken dinner, as those of you at Valley Brook hear me joke all the time. If you want more information, all it's going to cost you is a chicken dinner. Let's go out to lunch. And all you got to do is feed me a Roy Rogers chicken dinner or a Popeye's chicken dinner or make me one yourself, whatever. Well, these are tough times. And so it's not even going to cost you a chicken dinner or a banana pudding. All it will cost you is an email or a phone call. And I would be happy to talk to you about why specifically I would not trade this job as a pastor of this church for any other job in the world. But even with that being said, my life is much bigger than my job as a pastor. If my job as a pastor disappeared today, my life would still be a thriving one because my life is much bigger than my job as a pastor. Like all the details of our lives, every single detail of your life, every single detail of our lives as believers, our jobs are in a larger context. They rest in a larger context, just like every other detail, where we live, who we're married to, anything that you can think of, every detail of our lives, including our jobs, rests in a much larger context. And our text passage this morning gives us that larger context. So I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. I'll give you a moment to turn there. The Gospel of John chapter 5. Verse 24. And it reads like this. John 5:24 reads like this. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now that doesn't sound like a job verse. But believe me, it really is. It's more than a job verse. It's a life verse. This month, we're talking about the world of work. And so we're kicking this off with an overview of the world of work from a larger perspective than the job that we have. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, John 5:24, for those of you who are members of our church or who hear me regularly, you know it's a verse I quote a lot. I reference it many, many times in my messages. And the reason I do that is because, well, very simply, because I love it. And I love it a lot. I love it a lot. Because, see, Jesus always told the truth. He never told a lie. He literally was the living truth. And so he was always saying things that were true. But I like it when he tells us he's telling the truth. Like he says here, I tell you the truth, as if he would tell us anything otherwise. No, but he's emphasizing here, I'm telling you the truth. It's like he's saying, let me be unmistakably definitive about this point. It's not that the things that I said before weren't true. It's that what I'm about to tell you now, let me be definitively clear. Let me be definitively and unmistakably verbal and clear about this point. So that takes us to my first question. Light of what Jesus says here, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I can't stop reading it. It's so great. But I'm going to stop reading it. I'm going to ask you the question. What happened to you? What happened to you? Okay, so think of the next few minutes as sort of a brief metaphysical, spiritual anatomy session to look more closely at what happened to you. What happened to you when you invited Christ into your life? When you said yes to Jesus, when you folded your hands, or when you just looked up to heaven, or when you just silently in your heart opened the door, what happened when you invited Christ into your life? When you said yes to his offer of eternal life? Let's take a closer look. Let's sort of put an MRI on the situation and what happened. You may or may not know this, brother and sister, but when you said yes to Jesus, you actually passed away. You passed away the moment you came to Christ. Yes, you did. Spiritually speaking, you passed away. You died to death. You died to death, and you were born again to life. I know this is mind-boggling, and it gets worse, but this is what happened. You died to death, and you were born again to life. Here's what happened. His spirit entered our own dead spirit. And because Jesus said that unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you don't have any life in you. So we were all walking zombies. We were the undead. We were existing, but our spirits were dead. When we said yes to Jesus, his spirit entered our own dead spirit and brought it to life by his spirit. Just as he did with Lazarus and the little girl who had died, whom he raised from the dead. He went in and he spoke to your dead spirit like Lazarus. He said, come forth, and your spirit came to life, just as Lazarus's physical body came to life. He touched your hand just as he touched that little girl who had passed away, and she sat up. Your spirit sat up when Jesus Christ entered your life. He brought us out of the darkness of death into the light of life. It is a phenomenal experience that happened to you. It is a supernatural experience that happened to those of us who said yes to him. It is a metaphysical experience. It is an ethereal experience. Something very big and glorious happened. And this is just part of that. When you said yes to him, it's a mind blowing. Colossians 3 verse 3 says this, you have died. See, there it is. You have died. You died to death. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, we don't see the life that we have because it's not external. The life we have is internal. But when we pass away from this physical life, when that day comes, and it is coming, when we pass away from this physical life, we will then see the life that is now hidden, but that we have. The life that you already have that is right now coursing within your spirit. You will see it when these eyes close in death. And I just say, thank you, Lord, for giving me life. I didn't imagine it. I've said this many times in my own private times with the Lord. Lord, thank you for entering my life and giving me life. I didn't imagine what happened. I didn't imagine my passing. It happened as certainly as I sit here before you today. I didn't imagine it. I didn't make it up. And this idea of passing from death to life describes perfectly what I experienced and what I saw happen before my eyes with my eldest sister, whom I led to the Lord, the most dramatic conversion experience I have ever witnessed. Now, everybody doesn't have that, but that happened to me. And I literally sensed myself being awakened from a spiritual death to a new life. I died to death and I was raised again to new life in Christ. And that happened for all of us. Whether you experienced it dramatically or not, whether you felt good after you prayed that prayer, or like a friend of mine who prayed that prayer and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, he did not feel euphoria. He got sick, literally threw up. So how you felt really is not the issue. What the issue is what happened. And the Bible says that you died to death and you came to life with a brand new living spirit that was joined to the spirit of the living God. And we'll talk more about that right now, in fact. So what is eternal life? And trust me, brothers and sisters, this will get into that main idea about the job. But we're just laying some groundwork right here. What is eternal life? In a word, it's a relationship. Eternal life is a relationship. It's an eternal, inseparable connection with our Creator. That's what eternal life is. Now, it's got other features to it, like heaven and things of that nature, and you'll live forever and that kind of a thing. But what it is in its essence, eternal life is a relationship. It's an eternal, inseparable connection with our Creator. And we see this 1 John 5:20. Write the verse references down. I'm not going to ask you to turn there and wait for you to turn there. But 1 John 5:20 says this: we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this last line. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he is the true God and eternal life. What is eternal life? Jesus Christ himself. He is eternal life. And when we are united with him, we have eternal life because of our relationship with him. Listen to John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now that connection that I'm referring to, that fusion with your spirit and the Holy Spirit of God, that connection is never severed. And that is why Jesus said, he who believes in me will never die, will never die. Even though physically, we may leave this life, and physically, most of us will leave this life. And the only reason I say most of us and not all of us is because Jesus may come back, and the scripture says that when he does, that those who know him will be transformed. We won't all die, it says. So I can't say definitively we are all going to die, because I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But for those of us, and I would gather that probably most of us, I can't say that definitively, but even though we leave this life physically, when Jesus said you'll never die, it means he is with us forever, even in death. As we are united with him, he escorts our spirits through the exit of this life and into the glorious foyer of the next life. Isn't that wonderful? You will never be alone. You will never be separated from him. He will never leave you, and never means never. And that's all never means. It means never. He'll never leave you or forsake you, even in death. See, one of the problems of grasping the size of our lives and understanding that it's bigger than our jobs or any other situation, one of the problems of grasping the size of our lives is that we confuse our life with our location. We confuse our life with our location. You see, our location here on earth is but for a few years. Our life is eternal. Our location is temporary, but our life goes on forever and ever and ever, and it starts right now. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me, right now, today, May 4th, or whenever you said yes to him, has eternal life and does not come into condemnation, but he has passed out of death into life. Now, this is so relevant today, with so much death and the threat of death and the fear of death surrounding us. This is a good thing to remember, brothers and sisters, that he is life and that in him we have life, eternal life. We experience earthly loss. Our dear sister Dina, whom we continue to pray for and offer our words of comfort. She lost her dad recently. Brother Bill, Elder Bill Newell, lost his dad this past week. And so our hearts and our prayers are out to them. Maureen Davis lost her dad a couple weeks ago. You know, I lost my dad when I was 20. He was sick. He had stomach cancer. And he suffered terribly. And when he finally died, there was some relief because I didn't want to see him continue to suffer. But at the same time, that was still my dad. That was still my dad. And the sense of loss and the sense of grief that we feel when we lose a loved one is not discounted just because they're ill. Because we still have the memories of who they were to us. And I still had the visceral response to the fact that was one of my parents. And now I don't have that parent. So in this life, there is a sense of loss because we miss our loved ones. But thank the Lord. And this is why Paul says, we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Thank the Lord for choosing us and choosing them to be a part of his forever family. Because what a day of rejoicing it'll be when we are all reunited and seeing Jesus together face to face in our eternal home. But right now, before you get to that eternal home, you have eternal life and you have it forever. No person can take your life. No virus can take your life. Old age can't take your life. Death itself can't take your life. All it can do is make you change locations, brothers and sisters. You have eternal life right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 4:16 puts it, outwardly our bodies are wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. I know, just by my own personal experience of this body and what I know it used to be able to do and what I know it can't do anymore, I know that outwardly I am wasting away, but inwardly I also know that I am being renewed day by day, that what is inside of me is not subject to the forces of nature. What is inside of me is not subject to the natural course of this body. What is inside of me is untouchable. It is eternal. So he says, inwardly we're being renewed. What's being renewed? What's being renewed? The vitality and the vibrancy of our eternal life, which is our relationship with him. inwardly, that's what's being renewed day by day, is the vitality and the vibrancy of our eternal life, which is our relationship with Him. The eternal life within me is being renewed. It's being refreshed. It's being revitalized by Him day by day. Now, those are the natural and the supernatural facts. As I said earlier, eternal life is, as I said, your relationship with Him. Now, I want you to just take some time to consider how much more is going on besides the details of your job, and why I say that your job is a detail in a much larger life than you realize. I want you to take some time here to consider with me the more that is going on besides the details of your job, as He is a part of your life. Here's the thing. Not only is He a part of your life, you are a part of His life. You've heard me say it before. God has a life, a huge life, and you are a part of it. That single truth in and of itself makes your life an incredible journey. That God would want you to tag along with Him as He lives His life, that makes your life an incredible journey. So I want you to do this. I want you to imagine a lens right now, zoomed in on your life. And it's capturing your family, your job, your routines, your friends, your church. It's zoomed in on those details of your life. Now zoom out a little bit. Now it captures your city and then your state. And in that larger context is your life. Now, zoom out more, and now there's your country. There's your continent. There's your world. That is what your job is in the context of your life. Now, I know that your job takes up more time disproportionately than anything else. But there's a lot more going on in that time than your job itself. It's far more happening than just you carrying out your job assignment in those moments, in that time. Far more than you realize. And that's what makes your life bigger. Even if you're confined to a particular routine, your life is bigger than that routine because there's so much more going on in you than that routine. I think of it like this. I was thinking about this morning. When I go to the movies with Laverne, when we used to go to the movies, which seems like a million years ago, but when we go to the movies, there's so much more going on between us than just watching a movie. There's a whole lot more that's happening. I know how she likes her popcorn. And I know how she doesn't like her popcorn. We had a big old thing one time about me, you know, about our popcorn. So I know some things about how she likes her popcorn. I know she doesn't like coming into the theater looking for me. So she doesn't want to bring the refreshments in. She would rather me bring them in, even if she doesn't mind missing a few moments of the movie. That's another thing. But she knows that I would rather be an hour early to the movie than to miss 30 seconds of the movie. And that's the truth. I would rather come to the theater and sit there and look at a blank screen for an hour, or the cheesy commercials and all the other stuff that goes on before the movie. I'd rather be there an hour early than 30 seconds late. Even if the 30 seconds was just the title of the movie, I don't want to miss any of it. She knows that about me. And then after the movie, we discuss the movie and we give it our own rating, which often leads to us talking about ourselves and giving to one another new disclosures. We talk about the strange person who was sitting next to us making funny noises. The point is that it's not just a movie. What is it? It's relationship building. And in the same way, our job situation is a relationship builder with the Lord. If we take the opportunity to experience it as such. There's so much more going on than the papers you push, the buttons you push, the people you talk to, the emails you send, the phone calls you take. There is a whole lot more going on. And that's why we have verses such as, seek his face continually, as it says in Psalm 105. Or pray without ceasing. Or pray at all times. Those are relationship building opportunities that the Lord wants us to take advantage of in the details of our lives to connect us with the larger picture of our lives, which is our relationship with Him. And our job situations, trust me, and as you know, they provide plenty of conversation content if we choose to use it as such. This idea that I'm sharing with you, and the reason why I want you to take it and spend some time with the Lord and not just say, okay, I got you, Pastor. No, you don't got me. I don't think you got me, because I thought I got me, but I didn't get me until the Lord helped me, to get what's going on here. This has changed the way I experience my total life. This understanding that my life and any detail in my life is part of a much larger life than I realized. Do you know, biblically speaking, we're going to have to spend all of eternity understanding the life that we have, because the life that we have is in Christ. The life is Christ himself. And we're going to be throughout all of eternity understanding, the scripture says, his kindness toward us. So your life is a whole lot bigger than the detail of your job. Your job is a detail that is a part of a much bigger life than you realize. But this has changed the way I experience the simplest things, like standing in line. I am much more patient standing in line. You know why? Because I have eternal life coursing within me while I'm standing in that line, because the Lord is standing there with me. I come to the garden alone, and how we sing that song, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and it's about an intimate connection with the Lord in the garden. But you know what? The Lord doesn't just meet us in the garden. The Lord isn't not, he walks with me and he talks with me, not just through the garden. And he tells me that I am his own, not just in the garden, but as I stand in that long winding line with my grocery cart right before me. That's the Lord standing there with me too. And eternal life is coursing through me even then. Day by day, brothers and sisters, God wants to teach us how much bigger our lives are than any of its details, including our jobs. Day by day, he wants to show us how big our lives are. You know, and we often put things in a larger context. We do this already. We say things like, as long as you have your health, you're blessed. So that puts things in a larger context, whatever it is, whatever mishap, whatever thing that didn't go the way you wanted to, but as long as you have your health, you're blessed. You're zooming out. That's what that is. Or if you have a family that loves you, you say, well, listen, I don't care what happens out here. I have a family who loves me. That's, again, zooming out. But as you will see, your life is even bigger than that, because your health can change. Your family environment will change. Your kids will grow up. A spouse will pass away. Things will change. Marriages end. So those kinds of things, even though they give us some context, your life is bigger than all of that still. Your life is bigger than all of that. Those are details in a much larger life than you realize. All that stuff, all those other little things are details in a much larger life than we realize. So, how big is your life? If I were to sit down and ask you that question, how would you answer it? If we were sitting down at a chicken dinner, with a chicken dinner, and I asked you, so John, Brother John, or Keisha, or Flamina, or Laverne, or Brother Gary, or any of the others of you sitting out there, Grace, Donna, Roland. See, now I'm on a roll, I can't stop, but I'm going to. If we were sitting down talking, and I asked you, how big is your life? What would you say? You know what I would say? I would say, how big is eternity? That's how big my life is. And I'm not talking about my life when I die, because John 5:24 tells us clearly that if you believe in him, you have eternal life right now. How big is your life? How big is eternity? That's how big it is. How big is Jesus? How far does he expand? That's how big your life is. This doesn't mean, let me just say this as a disclaimer, as a qualifier. This doesn't mean that our jobs are insignificant. On the contrary, this broader perspective helps us to approach our jobs with greater awareness and greater anticipation of what God is doing, of asking ourselves the question, well, what else is going on here in this boardroom meeting, in this Zoom meeting? What else is going on here, Lord? What else are you up to? Because my life and your life are joined. And you're not only involved in the details of my life, I am involved in the details of your life. So it makes everything an adventure. Everything becomes an adventure. It gives us greater awareness and anticipation of what God's doing. It helps us to approach our jobs with greater help, with greater hope, with greater hope. Because we know that it's a part of a larger picture, that it's not a dead end. It's not an end in itself. It gives us greater patience, therefore, because we know God's working something through this. This is a detail in a much larger life. It gives us greater freedom in our spirit. We don't feel like we're shackled or enslaved or oppressed. Why? Because all our eggs are not in that basket. All our eggs are not in the job basket. Our lives are bigger than the details of our jobs. So let's put our lives in that larger context. What does that mean? Here's some things that I just want to get you to consider. What does that look like? Start valuing the insights that the Lord gives you. You know, he's always speaking things to us. Tune in and meditate on those insights. Savor them a little bit longer. Value the love lessons that he gives us in the moment. The nudges, the whispers that direct and that refine our love. Start valuing that. Value the heart touches. This is a phrase I came up with for those moments when you're with the Lord and maybe you are in the garden alone with him and he touches your heart. He doesn't say anything, he just touches your heart and your heart is moved or your spirit is moved or you're listening to a song, a worship song. Maybe you'll be listening to our sister Anika afterwards and your heart will swell a little bit. That's part of your eternal life. That is your connection with the Savior. That is the Savior communicating to you. Savor that. Thank him for it silently. Embellish it. Tune in your ears to hear it better. As Paul said to Timothy, take hold of the eternal life that you've been given. Take hold of it. It's coursing throughout you. It is, as our dear sister Elizabeth Elliot said, not Elizabeth Elliot, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush aflame with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries and daub their natural faces unaware. In other words, your life, your moment, your job is crammed with heaven. It's crammed with heaven. It's oozing life. And we can trust the Lord to help us to extract the deeper meaning, the deeper purposes that are going on besides the individual details. So That's what I'm asking you to do. Look up, the way that we sometimes look up at the sky with wonder. And we get a different perspective no matter what's going on Earth. Sometimes at nighttime when it's black out and you step outside and you look up into the sky and you see the stars, it gives you a different perspective. It gives you a sense that this something is bigger than what's happening right here in this moment. That something you are connected to. That something is now your life. That is your life because your life is connected with infinity. It is connected with the Savior. I told you it's metaphysical. You need to take some time and spend some time talking to the Lord about this and letting Him fill you with a deeper knowledge of what I'm talking about here. So take hold of the eternal life. Take hold of your relationship with Him. Lord, grant me greater awareness of your voice. Grant me greater sensitivity to your touch. Give me greater awareness of your movement. Let my relationship with you be the definitive experience of today. Let your distinguishing presence be my objective today, to touch and to be attuned to you. As the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I want a greater awareness of the eternal life within me. I want his renewing touch every day. That's what drives my desire to spend time with him. And he is amazingly creative and versatile in the ways that he does that. He stirs things up. Sometimes he's loud, sometimes he's quiet. He shuffles the deck. He varies his pitches. He turns the volume of his voice up and down. He does different things to make us aware of his living presence. So what is the therefore of this as it relates to your job? I cannot begin to fully list all the therefores, but I'm just going to give you a couple. First of all, this. You are always invited by the Lord to peace. You have a standing invitation from the Lord to his peace. He wants you in whatever environment you're in, including your job situation, whether you're looking for a job, whether you're trying to find a new job, whether you're loving your job, whether you want to make some adjustments in your job, whatever the situation is, he is inviting you as a feature of the eternal life, as a feature of your union with him. He is inviting you to peace. Not just any peace. It's a literally out of this world peace that Jesus is offering. The Lord says it's a peace that is unlike the peace that the world gives. He said, it's a multifaceted peace. Last week's message was about, it was focused on one aspect of it, which was our peace with God. But the peace that Jesus is referring to also involves peace between one another as brothers and sisters. And it also relates to this morning's topic, an inner peace that he wants to give us. So he invites us to peace. He invites us to never worry. Did you know that? He invites us to never worry about anything. Even though we may be distressed by the tribulations of this world, and we will be, we are not without recourse. We are not without recourse. He says to us in so many words, I got this. Relax. He's always saying that to us. I got this. Relax. Now, in the actual words of the scripture, it's rendered this way. Let me give you some verses. Just write the references down. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, because I am your God. Boy, we can sure use a heap and helping of that, can't we? A huge serving of that, Lord, please. Thank you. In these times, don't anxiously look about you, because I am your God. Another one, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. You don't have to walk around carrying that all by yourself as a feature of the eternal life that you have that is bigger than any circumstance. Cast your burden on him and he'll sustain you. Isaiah 26:3, another one. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Jeremiah 32:17. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. If it's a something, it's a nothing. If nothing is too difficult for thee. Philippians 4:6. One sister was sharing this as a passage of encouragement to another sister this past week. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You see, that's why it's an otherworldly peace. It's not a peace like this world gives, because it's out of this world. It's a peace that surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Another one, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all of it. If there's any little fragment left, cast it too. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. And many others, brothers and sisters. There are many more. It's an invitation to peace. It's a major feature of the eternal life that is bigger than any detail, specific detail of our lives. And he is using our job situations to better acquaint us with his peace. He's using the details of our job situation to better acquaint us with himself, with his peace. The second thing we're invited to love. We've been invited to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. That's what we've been invited to. You know, I'm thankful about this verse, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I am thankful to God that I am no longer intimidated by that verse, and I used to be. I don't see it anymore as a threat. I don't see it anymore as a burden. I don't see it anymore as an obligation. I see it as a promise, as something to trust the Lord for in the course of our relationship that we have in my eternal life. It's something I can trust him to continue to work out and manifest in my life. I approach it by faith, not as a work, which was what the Lord intended for us to do in the very first place when he gave it to us. And you can look up Romans 9:30-32, where it says that he gave us that commandment, not so that we could do it, but so that we could trust him to make that a reality in our lives. And I say, yes, Lord, amen, please, and thank you. So I approach that promise, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I approach that promise with faith. It's the best possible place to be. What's better than that? If I'm in a spot where I am loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, what's better than that? So it's a condition I want, not an obligation I need to fulfill. It's a blessing to be received, not a duty to be performed. And I can't imagine why the Lord would want to have that kind of connection with us, but he does. And again, I say to that, amen, yes, please, and thank you. But it's from that love, that love that we've been invited to experience. It's from that love that our love for other people flows, particularly people whom I have trouble liking, and particularly people who may be on the job that I have a difficult time with. Now, you know, I have the Valley Brook staff, so my situation is a little bit different. I don't hate the people that I work with. Wait, well, maybe only one. No, that's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. In those cases, and I have been in situations where it's a challenge to love certain people, it's a challenge to like them. But what I have found is as the Lord is blessing me in my eternal life, in my relationship with Him, to understand and experience His love, it becomes easier for me to let His love flow through me to other people. So He's using my job situation to make His love a growing reality in my larger life. My eternal life. Well, I'm done, brothers and sisters. That's pretty much all I have to say. I actually have more to say, but I'm done saying what I'm going to say today. I just want you to consider these things, if you will, before the Lord. It'll change the way you see your life. It'll change not just the way you experience your job, brothers and sisters. It will change every area of your life. And I say that from the bottom of my heart, the truest place that I can muster within me, because that's what has happened to me. As the Lord has blessed me to take hold more and more every day of the eternal life that I have in Him, it has transformed my life in every other way. So, what do we need to understand about our job situation? What do we need to understand about our job situation? My job situation is a detail in a much larger life than I realize. My eternal relationship with Christ. May the Lord give you grace as you consider these things this week. Take some time. I'm praying for you. I am praying for you and I'm praying with you because this is big stuff. I know I said a lot. Thank you for bearing with me. Thank you for hanging in there. I know that some of you were writing frantically. Don't worry about that. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to condense my notes and I'm going to put them on my website, on the church website this week. And whatever details you might have missed, verse references and stuff, they will be on there. Just go to valleybrook.church, go to Pastor's Blog or Pastor's Corner, and then Pastor's Blog. And the very first thing you see, starting tonight, I'll put it up there tonight, will be my notes, condensed version of my notes, so that you can pick up whatever you might have missed with the flurry of things that I was sharing with you. I'm so excited about this life. I was eating breakfast this morning and I was champing at the bit. I couldn't wait to share these things with you because they're true and they're about you. They are about you and Jesus Christ. And I pray that He will help you to internalize these things and that it will be as big a blessing to you as it has been to me as I've considered it and prepared it and shared it with you this morning. God bless you. And have a wonderful week. Stay tuned for our dear sister, Anika, and I'm sure that the worship song that she's going to offer will help to bring these things into a greater place of solidarity within you. God bless you, and see you next week.